listen to healthradio.fm. I'm on the phone with Adam Maas. We've done a number of assignments together, Adam, you and I. You're the director of sales and product development for Aliga. But you're also a gentleman who's been in the health and wellness industry for quite some time, and I thought it would be great to have you on our show to get your perspective as far as where you see health and wellness going within North America. Welcome to the show, by the way, Adam.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the time.
Now, you've traveled the globe. You've been doing a lot of work with Aliga, traveling to a number of different countries. What's the state of affairs when it comes to health and wellness?
Well, you know, I've been lucky to have the opportunity with this company to travel around the world and to see different changes within the health industry. And you find a lot of countries are on different phases than we are in North America. And I think we are definitely leading the way when it comes to recognizing what health means to us in our everyday life. We're starting the whole farm-to-table, the natural aspect of food, rather than trying to find ways to, you know, make healthy food taste better. We're looking at ways to get people to taste healthy food right from the ground. So, you know, there's a good movement going on, and I think as the Canadian manufacturers and the Canadian consumers really do a lot of studying and getting to know what they're eating, we're seeing those changes starting to happen overseas too.
Does it surprise you, Adam, when you go to a country like, let's say, Japan, and we have a lot of Japanese listeners on our show, they're curious to hear what you have to say, that they are just beginning the farm-to-table movement? Are you surprised to see them not as sort of up there with us as far as leading the way?
Yeah, I am. I mean, we always look at Japan as, you know, leading in technology, and, you know, they have such a beautiful society, the way everything is so well done and from labeling to the way food is. I mean, I enjoy eating there when I go there and the way they do business. But, you know, for our product in particular, because we're selling a pure natural product, and to go there and to be able, you know, to have to kind of educate them on the fact that the product that they think that they've been taking for so long, they think it's natural. It's not. It's that it's been bleached and that there's other things, you know, preservatives put in to make it what it is, and saying, okay, this is what, you know, this is what flax oil is supposed to taste like. This is what it's supposed to look like. And, you know, going through that education, it kind of, you have to step back and say, okay, you know what, this is a new teaching process for us. You know, we have to re-educate so that people see that, you know, they're not getting what they think they're getting.
Now, you and I spent some time, a full week of working together in Japan. I think that, and you could agree or disagree with me, I think that for the Japanese, they were very content, and they are very content with their own food, their own lifestyle, their own way of doing things. But since maybe Fukushima happened to Japan, they are wanting to find new ways of staying ahead of the health game.
Yeah, and I think that comes with most of the, even the Asian countries, they're starting to, like I said, investigate more. They're starting to open up to what other countries have to offer and how they can make it their own, right? They do want to do it themselves. They do want to, you know, do the manufacturing and the labeling and everything and put a product on the shelf that's from Japan, and that's fine with us as long as we can provide them with a true, pure natural product. I mean, that's, we don't want to interfere as a company in everybody's belief or way of life. We want to just be able to give them the opportunity to have something that actually is real.
Let's go to South America. What's happening in South America when it comes to health and wellness of your product?
They are a country. First time I visited there, I was blown away by the type of food. I wish that our food tasted like theirs. So when you realize that, you know, how much food from around the world gets shipped to North America, like, you know, the fruit is so fresh, and it's like it just came off the branch, and the meat, you know, the beefs and the chickens, they taste the way food should be, and that's what really sparked me in natural, like, farm to table, is that all these restaurants that we were eating at and these dinners that were being cooked by the villages were, this food tasted like real food, and it actually took me a little bit to get used to that, the idea that that's what it should taste like.
And did you find, Adam, too, that I think the best way to describe that sensation to our listeners is that, you know, when you have a dessert or a sauce and it's just overwhelmingly rich, sometimes I think when you go to a country where the food tastes so amazing, your taste buds get overwhelmed.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's, you know, it takes time every time you try something new for your mind and your tongue and your taste buds to really kind of grasp what you're trying. And we were blown away by how natural their beliefs are in their food and how they're sourcing a lot of their products locally. So when they decided to bring our product on, they said, okay, well, we're going to do this under our own brand and, you know, some private labeling. They wanted to really see how the market would react to a flax oil, something that they'd never used in Colombia. And once they did their research and found out the consumers actually loved the flavor and that the way that it was cooked in food and how it enhanced even their more natural flavors, they were blown away. So they, you know, we've been shipping, you know, nice bulk product to them so they can label their product and use our Canadian farmer-grown flax oil there. And it's so far, the growth has been very successful for us.
Let's talk about flaxseed oil. What is it? Canadian made because it can only grow in Canada, or what are the reasons? Tell us more about Aliga flaxseed oil.
Well, there's three major producers of growers of flaxseed oil, and you're talking Europe, North America, and China. North America is the largest production or producing country in the world. Well, I mean, 60% of the flax around the world comes from North America.
Right.
It's the climate that really makes the difference. So all of our flax, except for maybe one farm in British Columbia, all of our flax is grown in the prairies because it needs that cold hibernation temperature, and then it, you know, everything is harvested in July, and we get a very high quality seed. In North America, we have banned the use of GMOs. So
right.
There's no GMO flax seeds at all. So it's not even a selling point. It just is that way for the last, I believe, we're at about 10 years now. If I'm correct, be stand corrected. But and then Europe has their own flax growing. Now, the difference maybe between them would be is not a lot of people are buying flax seeds from China. They do a pretty good quality seed there, but it's not something that gets exported. In Europe, between Europe and Canada, it would mostly be the fact that the oil content in our Canadian seed is at a higher percentage than Europe. And we get a higher quality of product out of it. So we have more production. I think we're close to 1 million hectares of flax being grown in North America, in Canada currently.
Yeah.
Even different than, say, the U.S. that has theirs, and they have a totally different flavor seed. So we get a lot of, even American companies are calling us and saying, okay, this tastes way better. Or, you know, even in the pet industry, you know, we're having some people trying ours compared to what they've been using for the last 10 years. They're saying, okay, there's a faster reaction on the animals, you know, than our other product. Our other product took 7 days, 8 days. Yours is like 24 hours to 36 hours. We're seeing dogs react, and they're licking the bowl. And so, you know, we're looking at it from a human and a pet side. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
We have a
good
product that is it's so versatile. We can use it in any way, and it's healthy, and it's natural, and it's sourced right from the farmer.
Now, what does your company do? I mean, I think for a lot of people, the concern is that flax oil oxidizes quickly. What have you done differently with your oils?
Free radicals affect oils, all oils that are produced out there. The thing with flax is it reacts faster to, you know, air and exposure and that. So, you know, obviously, you know, keeping it refrigerated after opening is a major point that we tell everyone. But prior to that, we've made our oil shelf stable. So we can sit on a shelf unopened and sealed for up to 3 years. How we did that, you know, there's some little trade secrets in there, but we removed all of the impurities and waxes that are natural within the flax oil. We did this specifically for this particular product because we wanted to know how do we get a high smoke point. And by removing those with our special filtration system and our trade secret process, patent pending, that we were able to get a 482 to 485 degree smoke point and not deteriorate the omegas.
And it's not even deteriorating the omegas. Literally, if certain oils burn, they become carcinogenic,
right,
cancerous. So yes, you've been able to get it to a point where all of that's avoided.
Yeah, by removing certain impurities, we had to define which impurities were causing the pre-smoke point or creating carcinogens within the oil and
right,
then deteriorating the oil. So once we were able to remove those particles, we were, and naturally, like no chemical process, nothing,
right,
a really unique filtration process. Once we were able to remove those items, we were able to watch the peroxides and the cyanide values and the Totox levels drop down below acceptable standards for Canada.
Now, explain a bit to us, Adam, about carcinogens. One thing that I had heard in traveling overseas is the Japanese population, for example, or the Japanese authorities are concerned with carcinogen levels on, or arsenic levels on flaxseed. What are they talking about?
They're worried about cyanides. So typically, cyanides and that are something that, you know, growing in the soil, depending on what type of farming practices you use or anything like that. Like the seed itself carries a lot of particles, minerals, and all the stuff that whether you're doing spraying or anything like that. So what they're always worried about is when they're importing, they don't allow whole seeds to be imported in Japan because they carry high cyanogenic glucosides.
Okay.
Sorry, my hey, science language.
You could lie, we wouldn't know anyways.
Yeah. they carry different little particles on them from the soil and the growing and all that stuff. So most importers in Japan of that would order seeds from a big grain mill. So they all bring in all these seeds from all these different farmers. And those are pretty much considered like unclean seeds. They're like a 92%. There's going to be different dunnage. And they're not going to be as high quality. Our seed, just as the farmer, comes out at about a 95% cleanliness. And
yeah,
then
okay,
we clean them again to a 99.8. So we remove all of those particular concerns. But it's even then is once that shell is removed, it's pressed, and everything's filtered through, we have a zero problem with carcinogens. And then when you're talking carcinogens within the oil, it's the cooking side of it. Like I said, we're below Canadian standards for acceptance on carcinogens. So.
Okay. So there's really nothing to worry about.
No, not with our process. And I would say that's probably the same with a majority of Canadian flax producers. I mean, they're pretty, there's certain ones like Udo's oil is really great. I consider their quality like a League of Flax oil. The only difference is ours has got a smoke point and still being able to be used as a supplement oil, right? But there are some companies in this country that really care about that cleanliness, and they really look at the quality, and you know, we commend them for being like that because it gives us a standard.
Where left in the world for you to go? You've tackled South America. You've gone into Asia. Where else is this Canadian product going to go?
Well, we're just reaching the warehouse doors in Australia, Complete Health Products. They're our distributor out there. They'll be pushing the product around Australia. They're huge in flax. They really love flax products, and they've been using those flax for decades. So they're excited about this new product and see how it does in the market. And they're going to push out to New Zealand, too. We still got to get into Europe, right? It's Europe has got their own thing going on, and we'd like to really introduce this new product even to some of the current manufacturers that are there or private label clients, you know, anything we can do to kind of introduce innovation. I mean, innovation is everything. We're all looking for something new. And the big key with us is as long as we can make it natural and have no chemical influence and no refining, then we'll go ahead and we'll make something. You know, we'll go after it and try to create a market for it. So this was our first kind of foray into the flax side and what we're going to do. And it's been really successful here in North America now. And I think Mexico, we're just starting to talk to people, a couple manufacturers down there, even some private labels.
How about a tequila-infused flax oil? That'll go well.
Hey, I think that would go well in Mexico for sure, right?
We'll do those shooters. Then we'll get our flax
oil
in.
Well, I mean, for us, it's right now we're working on a lot of flavors. You know, we're looking into different flavored flaxes and, you know, which ones would work great in which markets. So a little bit of market research going on. And then, you know, we're also working on a few with our corporate chef, Alana, working on some products that we can create with her name that are as close to natural as possible, you know, using any natural preservative.
Now, Chef Alana is your corporate chef. She's also been the winner of Chopped Canada, a very popular show here in North America. Why is your company investing so much into the marketing and development side of the business, which I think is fantastic, but it's a good chunk of money you're putting towards development?
Well, when you have a product that nobody really knows or that they do know about but they don't quite understand, you really have to get the education out there. And we had to spend time thinking about what's the best way to communicate to the public and the consumer, because the consumer drives our product. They are the most important. You know, our partnerships with our vendor retailers and that is the first line, right? That's where we send the product out, and the only way they're going to buy it is if they know about it. So bringing in Chef Alana, that was probably one of the best decisions we ever made. She's got a great head on her shoulders for business and visual. She can visualize kind of where the product needs to go. So she helps us right along the line. She hears what the consumer's saying. She thinks about food, and she's got this style of cooking that it appeals to everyone, whether
right.
you want fancy cooking or whether you want home cooking. I mean, her ability to transfer home cooking into casual fine dining was one of the first things that made me kind of go, wow, okay, we need to ask this person if she can help us. Because
which is the trick, I think, too, when it comes to you're taking an oil that some would equate to being equivalent to a castor oil or a, certainly not an olive oil. It was never thought of that way before. So I think you've done something by using a corporate chef that not a lot of people have done.
Yeah, and we're very thankful for the effort that she's put in. I mean, she's gone above and beyond for us, and really, really just brought in a lot of followers and a lot of people that are they're trying the things that she's suggesting, or they're creating new things. So she's not only asking, "Hey, try what I do. Go ahead and create something yourself. Let me know how it works
right.
out." Right? Like, so she's inspiring that, and she's inspiring us too to find new and more creative ways to market this particular product. And the opportunity to be able to take her to different parts of the world and say, okay, here, let's show them what it tastes like. Let's figure out what food works for them. And then she's so flexible in her abilities that she can take something Japanese and turn it into a great meal, or
right.
you know, go to China and do the same thing, right?
Incorporating into different lifestyles, which is
yeah,
I think
and so that they can relate to the product with the food they're eating, rather than just saying, "Hey, it works in North America. You should try it here."
Right.
It's giving people a chance to kind of open up their taste buds, open up their mind, and so we're happy with that direction and how she's helped us.
Well, Adam Mass, Director of Sales and Product Development for Aliga Flaxseed Oil. I look forward to having you back again on the show in the future to discuss sort of trends and where the health and wellness industry is going. Thanks so much for being on the show, Adam.
Hey, Tammy Lynn, thanks for having me on, and I look forward to chatting with you again sometime.
Thank you.
All right, you take care.